Today's program has been brought to you by GreatBrewers.com, a social media marketing platform dedicated to promoting the world's great brewers and the beers they create. For more information, visit GreatBrewers.com.
I'm Greg Blaze, host of Cutting the Curd. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Hey, welcome to Beer Sessions Radio on the Heritage Radio Network. It's July 8th, 2014. It's July Good Beer Month in New York City. I'm Jimmy Carboni from Jimmy's Number 43 and the Good Beer Seal. My good buddy Ed Berstecki from Mug's Ale House is back in the
house. I'm back.
Good to see you, man.
Oh, nice to see you too, Jim.
So you've got a lot of cool events coming up this summer. You're doing something with Sierra Nevada?
Big one tomorrow night. You know, I think most of everybody has heard of it, and if they haven't heard of it, they will hear about it today. So.
All right, we're looking forward to talking to you and Jan Appenich from Sierra Nevada.
What's up,
all right, from Great South Bay, a newer brewery in Long Island, we got Rick Ebel.
Phil Ebel.
Uh-huh. Phil Ebel, because he didn't bring Rick Sabuda.
Rick.
I can't pronounce all the names, but
Sabuda,
we got some new guys. And the easiest name in the house is Nico Kremitas. Because I've heard your name 100 times, but Nico's here too, and they made a beer together called Nico Vice.
Hey, what's up, Jimmy?
All right, so we're going to talk a lot of things. We're trying to celebrate the diversity of beer in New York City. We founded July Good Beer Month 6 years ago, and each year we do a few different things. This year we're focusing on the special bars like Mug's Ale House and different collaborations like what Nico did with Great South Bay, and doing some special shows. In fact, tomorrow night we'll be at WNYC's the Green Space. We've got a great show with Tommy Keegan from Keegan Ales, Adam Watson from Sloop Brewing, and Paul D. from Blind Bat on Long Island. So we're trying to just celebrate the great New York City craft beer scene in the month of July. All right, so it's Ed. What you been up to? I haven't seen you in a while. Mug's Ale House is going strong, but really you're one of the oldest, you know, legendary beer bars in New York City.
Pioneer. That's what I've been labeled, the pioneer. So I think that actually it goes hand in hand with Sierra Nevada, you know, and that's the beauty of that in this event tomorrow that I think that we're all going to hopefully enjoy and experience. And I think, you know, Sierra Nevada, we've never taken them down. They've been poured at Mug's for over 22 years, so... And I think they appreciate that, and we appreciate that. And, you know, again, being an old-timer, you know, I like the old breweries, too. It's, you know, Great South Bay is one of the newer breweries. I like them, too. I mean, so it becomes a push-and-pull type of approach towards business these days.
But you've done that for a while, right? You keep kind of these legacy brands.
Yeah, I think I don't know if I'm out of the ordinary from, you know, the newer beer bars, but I think I am because everybody rotates so much, and I'm too old to rotate. I like to be, you know.
Well, tell us some of the standards that you always have.
Well, Sierra, Brooklyn Lager, you know, Anchor Liberty, which is kind of, you know, I think one of the pioneers also in this beer business, and that have kind of faded away just because of hoppier beers and, you know, pale ales and things like that getting thrown aside for session IPAs. And you know, so we kind of have our, you know, set, you know, Hoegaarden wheat beer. You know, the beer geeks don't like it because it's too commercial for them, but I think it's a great wheat beer. I mean, a white beer, I should say.
But then you're always pushing the envelope. You do some very interesting strong beer festivals.
We've got 32 draft lines, so it gives us a lot of room to breathe, you know, and that's the approach. And it kind of, that number is the ceiling for us. We're not going to go any further than that. I think it works well. It gives us enough available lines to play around with. Then we would do events like tomorrow. We're going to have 11 out of the 12 beer camp beers, and you know we can just throw them up and have them up and not really affect a lot of the standard stuff that we have up. And you know it works well, and it's worked well for us for 22 years. And you know we like it, and that's the way we do business. And we'd like to keep, you know, our standard set of beers so that, you know, people can explore, but that it can also fall back on a favorite.
Great. And we're going to talk more about the special Sierra beer, Camp Beers, not only on this show, but at the end of the month on July 29th. I know Jan's going to bring in some luminaries from Sierra Nevada.
Of course.
For the show.
The whole beer camp bus is going to come into town.
All right. So the Phil Sobotka, Rick Abel team over here. I'm mixing up your name.
No, that's okay. Well,
let's go. Great South Bay. First time on the show.
Yes. So I'm Phil Abel, and right here next to me is our assistant brewer, Mike Peterson.
Hello.
Rick couldn't make it. He's also, as owner of the brewery, he's also a full-time anesthesiologist. So sometimes his medical schedule does not always fit.
We could have used him today.
Yeah, right?
Actually, I don't want to hear about that stuff. So how did you guys get started? Great South Bay.
Great South Bay. Long Island.
Long
Island, New York. So like I said, our boss, Rick Sobotka, is a board-certified anesthesiologist. His father was a home brewer. His grandfather was a home brewer. Always wanted to open a brewery. Being a doctor gave him the opportunity to save up some money and take his dream to the next level. He was originally from upstate New York, moved down to Long Island.
Is he Polish?
Yes. yep. So
I love him already.
Exactly. He used to vacation down on Long Island as a kid, and always thought South Shore of Long Island needed a brewery. At one point, we got one. Blue Point, finally settling with his family in the Bayshore area, loving the Great South Bay, the whole feel of the vacation area. I was like, this is a great place for a brewery. 4 years ago, decided to get it.
You guys
going.
Want to give away a hat on the air?
Sure.
All right. We're gonna tweet. Maggie's here at @beer_sessions. She's gonna send out a tweet, and whoever answers her question is going to get a free Great South Bay hat. So go
done.
To Twitter, check @beer_sessions. Maggie's going to tweet a question, and whoever answers it first is going to get a free hat
right,
for
cool.
Great South Bay. All right.
Sounds good.
Cool.
All right.
Maggie's like, what are you making me do?
I'm not taking mine.
But she's great. Maggie's here, and she's tweeting all the time with us. And
awesome.
Maggie and Justin are great co-producers. So Great South Bay. You guys are cool. Your owner's Polish. So, Ed, why is that so relevant to you? Do you drink?
My wife always says that I'm more Polish than American, which kind of drives me nuts. But I like where my parents are from and things like that. And I heard the name, and that's why. Now I should give him a line, right?
Yes. Yes,
you should. That's how it works.
Absolutely. But the history of our brewery, beer first. We just want to make sure that we're making the best possible beers we can. Ed was busting my balls before. He's like, you've been around for 4 years, but you've only just come to the city. It's like, we went through a lot of stuff that, we won't necessarily get into here, but just the short of it, we're in our second location now, finally 100% brewed and bottled in our location.
But you're right. And when you guys did the Malted Barley Association meeting,
mm-hmm.
It was like, you really deliver to New York. And I didn't even know. It was just like one of those things.
Well, we did it just for that event. It's one of those things where it's like, if we bring it out, we got to go back in. We got to get the kegs. And we didn't really have the self-distribution.
That's why I had those kegs for over a year.
Right, right. So we didn't have the self-distribution program in place. We've been with Claire Rose on Long Island since we started making beer, and now we're with Union Beer here in the city, and Craft Beer Guild up in New Paltz, also part of the Union Network. Just trying to make great beers. This year, we have a very aggressive production schedule. We're coming out with a new beer every month, a new IPA every other month, in addition to our year-round beers such as the Blood Orange Pale Ale and our
You have that,
IPA.
Jimmy? Blood Orange, you ever have that?
I haven't had that. I had one of your Christmas beers.
The Blood Orange is very good.
Sleigh Ride?
Sleigh Ride had, yeah. A rye beer, right?
Yeah, awesome beer, juniper berries, red rye ale, really good flavors.
And So what are the most popular beers that you're making now?
Right now, summertime, our Blonde Ambition Summer Ale used to be one of our year-round styles. But when we came out with our Blood Orange Pale Ale, we decided we didn't want to have two fruit-flavored beers out at the same time. They kind of counteract each other. Blood Orange Pale Ale is our flagship now, kind of the market dictated that for us. We always wanted Massive IPA to be our flagship. The market dictated otherwise with Blonde Ambition. And then when we came out with Blood Orange Pale Ale, which was a takeoff of our Robert Moses Pale Ale with Blood Oranges added to it, just kind of took off. And now it's our best-selling beer, and we brew a lot of it.
Do you guys have a tasting room, too?
We have a tasting room. We actually have our brewery square footage wise, is the largest brewery on Long Island. We have a 4,000 square foot tasting room. We have 14 taps, cornhole, foosball. Yes, people come down, try our beers.
Another day at the brewery.
Just another day at the brewery.
With games and beer.
Absolutely. We want people, unfortunately, we're not allowed to have people outside at our brewery, the town, because we're in a little industrial area. We're not allowed to have people outside. So we are fortunate enough to have space at our disposal. So we have a really large tasting room so people can kind of spread out and enjoy our beers and everything we have to offer.
Well, that's great. I think we're definitely going to need to go out to Long Island this summer.
Bus trip.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Definitely.
And I think Nico might be organizing that for us. Later this summer, we're going to do a show out on Long Island.
Yeah, late July, right?
Yeah, and we're going to work that out, which is going to be fun. So
you guys are more than welcome to broadcast from our place.
All right. But, Nico, so the one reason that you're with these guys today is you made a special beer. So tell us about that process, because you've really been very, very actively involved with Long Island Beer. You're writing for Edible Long Island, Edible Brooklyn, and Yankee Brew News now.
Yeah, Long Island was probably the first place where I started writing about beer for Long Island Pulse magazine, so I've been following the craft beer scene on Long Island for 5 or 6 years. And I've known, Rick and Phil since they started out. And, so we collaborated on a Greek-inspired Berliner Weiss.
Greek-inspired?
Yes, inspired by my Greekness.
Ah, 100% inspired by his Greekness.
Is that where you get the beer from?
But it's a German-style beer.
It's a German-style beer. It's a Berliner Weiss with 100 pounds of cucumbers. So cucumbers, a prominent ingredient in tzatziki.
Yep. Essentially, that's what we were trying to do, is to come up with a beer that mimicked the flavor of tzatziki sauce.
Let's taste the beer. So Jan and especially Ed, your experienced tasters.
I'm a poet.
So let's just start by
I like food,
the nose. And
no, I think it's great.
I mean, there's definitely this kind of greeny earthiness.
Yeah.
And that's the cucumbers. It's almost like a green pepper, but it's a little different.
Yep, you get a little melon out of it.
You definitely get it in the nose. I mean, it's a Berliner Weiss. I mean,
it's tart. It's tart, but I feel like the cucumbers balance that out really nicely.
So do you see that happening more and more? People are putting fruits and vegetables into beer.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I mean, we actually won a bronze medal at Great American Beer Fest for our Splashing Pumpkin Ale in the spice and or field beer category. And gold medal was a cucumber saison. Bronze medal was a chili pepper IPA. And then there we were with our pumpkin beer. I feel like people are putting anything in beer nowadays. I mean, you got, Springhouse in Pennsylvania makes those gruesome beers, the peanut butter and jelly beers. I think people are really trying to, push the envelope with what they put into beer. But at the end of the day, it's still got to taste good.
Yeah, I mean, we have a rhubarb ghost from Kelly right now up on draft, and it's very good. But, I mean, now I'm old school. I don't know. You're saying
that's the edible ale, right?
It's very good. And but I just, I don't know. Sometimes I'm like I said, I've been doing this for over 22 years, and for me, it's like I'm an old school type of guy. I like my beer.
You know, you're not even older than me.
Yes, I am.
Yeah, you always talk about how old you are.
Didn't we? We've done this.
Well, did you bring any vintage beers?
No, I didn't, because he talked me out of it. I was going to bring a 2000 Bigfoot. I tweeted it, and he's like, "Oh yeah, a 2000 Bigfoot."
Ed's modest. He keeps talking about how old he is, but he won't tell you that he has a great vintage beer cellar.
Yeah,
at Mog's Ale House.
Yeah, one of the best.
Well, I try to cellar a lot of stuff, but Jan here talked me out. He's like, "Nah, we'll have enough here," and it's like, "All right, fine." And I thought he'd be excited about a 2000 Bigfoot. Like, I thought the reaction would be what I just got out of you.
Bigfoot is one of my most favorite beers of all time. Probably like the first high alcohol beer I ever had.
Everyone in this, since you mentioned the Bigfoot, the Sierra Nevada barley one, everyone in this room is smiling and laughing. Yeah. It's like, you didn't even need to bring it.
Well, I was going to bring 2000, 2005, and 2007, and I probably have some 90s laying around someplace too, but
dead to you. Get you. We're doing a show again on the 29th.
Yeah.
That's right.
And
we're going to get back. We're going to taste through some of these special collaborations with Sierra Nevada. Mike, you're the assistant brewer at Great South Bay.
Yes.
Did you sit in on the process of making the Nico Weiss?
Yeah, I was around chopping up cucumber and just kind of getting all those buckets ready to throw in there.
Did you eat any?
Well, yeah, it's cucumber.
Oh, okay.
I mean, you got to make sure it's you know, this is farm fresh stuff, but you got to make sure it's good.
And, and when do you put the cucumber in during the beer process?
We put the cucumber in the boil. We actually, just to, real quick, we'll just go through the whole process. So we kettle soured this beer. What we did was we mashed the beer, you know, Vertiloft off into our boil kettle and kept it in there for about 48 hours. Pitched the lacto immediately, kept it in there for 48 hours, you know, tested the pH of the beer. That morning we were like, you know, do we leave it? Do we boil? Do we leave it? Do we boil? We kind of, you know, kept tasting it over the course of an hour or so. Finally decided, you know what, let's do it. It's ready. Let's boil it. We cut up 110 pounds of cucumber, put them in the muslin bags, threw it in, boiled it for about 20 minutes to a half an hour, then knocked out into the fermenter and finished the fermentation with our house yeast. So it was a pretty long process. But yeah. You know.
Did you peel them?
No. We just cut them.
Okay.
Yeah,
maybe that's what I'm smelling is the
yeah, I'm wondering because... Yeah. But I mean, to peel it's, 110 pounds.
No, well, that wasn't happening. Yeah.
Yeah. No, some of that green is coming from
the... You asked, yeah, no, and I was going to say, did you seed them? But you know, let's not go there.
No,
but anyway,
no, no,
so the process, you actually put cucumbers in, and I'll say it's not as sour as some Berliner Weisses.
Well,
it's
Berliner Weiss should just be slightly tart, should not be overly sour, like a lambic.
It's very refreshing.
I just want to thank you for putting out a Berliner Weiss in this 90-degree humid weather.
You're quite welcome.
Very, very refreshing beer.
All right. Hey, let's just take a short break. We'll come back in a few minutes. We'll talk more with Sierra Nevada and Great South Bay on Beer Sessions Radio. All right.
Hi, I'm Damon Bolte, host of The Speakeasy. This summer, Heritage Radio Network is turning 5 years old. Since our launch in 2009, we've continued to bring you food and culture content like no one else. And we need, absolutely need, your help. HeritageRadioNetwork.org is a passionate, grassroots, action-oriented nonprofit organization. That means we depend on the support from listeners like you to keep us alive. If you love what you hear on Heritage Radio Network, visit our website and become a member today. Thanks for listening, and thanks for your support.
So, you like good beer. Whether you're a craft beer pro or just had your first sip of an IPA, GreatBrewers.com is your number one beer resource on the internet. GreatBrewers.com bridges the gap between the world's great brewers and the consumers who enjoy their products. With so much information and misinformation out there, GreatBrewers.com focuses on education and leaves no stone unturned. Take the Great Beer Test on their website and browse through an extensive product catalog. Download their mobile beer cloud app, which includes a GPS beer finder, a beer sommelier, and descriptions for over 5,000 different brews. What are you waiting for? Back up that passion for craft beer with some solid information and education. Visit GreatBrewers.com today.
Hey, 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 welcome back to Beer Sessions Radio on the Heritage Radio Network. We're doing a special show for July Good Beer Month. We got Ed from Mug's Ale House, Jan from Sierra Nevada, the guys from Great South Bay on Long Island, and Nico Cremutis, one of our favorite beer writers, who I made a special beer. So one more thing about this beer. So it's the Nico Weiss. It's a Berliner Weiss made with cucumbers, and you said it's inspired by your being Greek. But why didn't you put yogurt in it? You said it's tzatziki. I was thinking it was a yogurt beer.
Well, we figured from the lacto we might get those yogurt notes from it, which I've noticed. I don't know if you've noticed, Phil, like, because I've had it over the course of the last week and a half. It's definitely changed
it's
a little bit.
It's got to age.
Like, yeah. Yeah, it's definitely changed a little bit. We kind of threw around the idea of putting some yogurt in it. We made a full 30-barrel batch of beer, and not quite knowing what that would do to the beer, we didn't want to end up with a dumper. So right. We kind of left that out.
Yeah.
Ed's like, good decision.
I can envision that. It's like throwing yogurt.
You know, it's a lot of time, a lot of raw materials, a lot of manpower, and to throw something into the beer that we didn't know... We didn't know what it would
you
do.
You did the right thing.
Yeah, yeah. I think so.
And I just want to thank Great South Bay, you know, Rick, who's not here, Rick Ebel, and Phil Sabatka. Thanks so much, guys, for doing this.
You're and quite Nigel, welcome, man.
And what do you tell us what you're doing with the beer? Because I saw you posted a photo of yourself with a wanted kind of a
So we've kind of been doing release events in Brooklyn. We did one at Covenhoven, and we're actually tapping a keg at Jimmy's number 43 tonight.
Whoa. If you're in town on July 8th,
yeah. Stop by. And so we did it at the Black Sheep Ale House in Mineola, and we did it at Corey's Ale House in Wantagh, and then the last party is Friday at Morrison's in Plainview.
Can I ask a quick question, stepping it back?
Yes.
How did you come up with this whole idea?
So I was in Phil's office, and we were kind of just throwing things around, and he has a horse mask in his office, so I kind of just
makes Mike really uncomfortable.
Hate that horse mask.
Yeah, it's really freaky, so I put it on, and
Jimmy,
were just talking,
get you one of those.
And we kind of just threw around
this is
the
what
idea.
Beer guys are really like.
Yeah. Just wear horse masks. So we were just kind of throwing around ideas, and we were like, oh, you know, wouldn't it be funny to make a beer together? And then, you know, I didn't hear anything about it, and then 3 weeks later, Phil called me, and
we're doing it.
Yeah, he's like, let's do it. And I was like, oh, sweet, like a 5-gallon batch, tasting room only.
30 barrels.
And then he's like, no, we're going to do 30 barrels. I was like, Jesus, uh-oh.
Well, that's cool. He got vetoed on the, can we make a beer with my beard?
Yeah, well, I was gonna throw some dry hop with the beard hair, but
well, that's what I thought, the Greek influence thing.
Yeah, I should have put my chest hair.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
Well, there's no hair in this beer, guys.
Now I understand why you just settled on putting in cucumbers, which actually tastes pretty good. I like that.
It does.
All right, let's jump over to so Jan from Sierra Nevada. This is a really cool project, and you're coming back on the show July 29th. Tell us about your new – we know about Beer Camp. So Beer Camp is we've had bartenders and beer enthusiasts from around the country. They've gone to Sierra Nevada and made special beers.
Right.
Now, what did you guys do this time that's different?
So this time is very special. It's actually a celebration for the grand opening of our new brewery in North Carolina. We're officially going to be bi-coastal this summer. The grand opening is August 3rd. We wanted to celebrate with not just us. Ken was uncomfortable about celebrating and say, hey, guys, look at us. We're national now. He wanted to include all his friends and all his buddies that have been through, you know, the brewing process throughout the years, who have seen the landscape change for the past 15, 20, 30 years. And so he decided to do a beer camp with his closest friends, people he's collaborated with, trading secrets with, trading techniques with throughout the years, and do kind of like a pro beer camp across America. And the idea was to kind of pick out friends that he's had across the country, do a beer festival. We're doing a 7-city beer festival starting in Chico, California, going, I forget the cities offhand, but it's going to go across the country and end at Mills River on August 3rd, and that'll be the grand opening of the brewery. All the brewers that are on this collaborative list are going to be on the bus, and it's going to be one super party.
All right. So I have a list here. Do you want me to read them off, or do you want to read them off?
Rattle it off.
Okay. So you got... Well, Ed, you read it off.
No, I can't read.
Oh, come on. No one can read on the station.
I can't read.
All right. Allagash Brewing, Firestone Walker, Cigar City, Ballast Point, Victory, Bell's Brewery, Russian River, Ninkasi, New Glarus, Asheville Brewers Alliance, Oscar Blues, and Three Floyds.
Yes.
All made a Sierra Nevada beer camp.
Beer.
Yes.
And so you have, how many is that, 12?
12. The hardest part about the project I keep hearing is picking out 12 breweries. You know, if we could do 2,000 collaborations, we would, but that would kind of be hard to fit in a 12-pack.
And is it a set of 12? You can buy 12.
It's a set of 12, and it's dropping in New York City the week of July 14th, so look out for it. It's a 12-pack, a very unique one, with 10 12-ounce bottles and two cans. Right? Oscar Blues and Cigar Cities are known for their canning, and we kept it at that.
But did everyone make the beer at a Sierra Nevada brewery?
Yes, either the Chico location or the Mills River location. And let me tell you, the packaging was a nightmare. We don't have a variety pack kind of like packer. And we had, since some of the beer was brewed in California,
should have called us. We would have helped.
No, we had a ship.
You
need
a few
beer.
Extra guys, like on a Great South Bay. You could have had a few guys, but
stick a couple cucumbers in
that's
there.
Mike's nightmare. Mike's waiting for the variety pack to come out, and he's going to quit.
So you guys are pushing. But
I
what
need
are you guys
seven
serving?
More guys, Phil.
What are you serving tomorrow at Sierra Nevada? Is it an advance release?
Sierra Nevada tomorrow.
I mean, whatever your name is, Mugs Ale House.
We're going to Sierra Nevada.
I guess too many people on the show.
So Ed here.
Oh, we're going to Sierra Nevada tomorrow.
Yeah.
No, I mean, the Pale Ale has totally come full circle, and we felt it appropriate to do it at Mugs Ale House since he was one of the first bars to serve the Pale Ale back in, what was it, 92?
Two.
Bada bing. Wow. 92.
Long time ago.
Till this day, he still has that pale handle up.
Jimmy, and I used to look like
you. Don't
want
to go back to 92. It was early 90s. I was out with some parents at the time. And there was a guy, a Wall Street guy. We walked by a bar, and for the parents' outing, he picked it because he said he knew they had Sierra Nevada Pale Ale. And he said that he could always trust that as a beer. And that was over 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So when it came out, it really made a statement, didn't it? It really became the beer of craft beer.
I mean, yeah, it put Cascade Hops on the map. You know, it's what American craft beer is known for now is the hops. And I feel, you know, Sierra Nevada, along with a handful of others in California, just kind of started that trend of highlighting hops and beer.
Being an old timer, I can attest to that because transitioning from just Bass at that time and then having a Sierra Pale Ale or having an Anchor Liberty, that's really where the next step was. And it was really, and that's why we kept it up. And Sierra Pale Ale has been up for 20 years. We never took it down.
Yeah, so. We've had on a hop grower, John Siegel from Siegel Ranch, and he told us that his father developed the hops for Anchor Liberty, which was the Cascade, I believe, right?
Right.
Yeah.
I think it was Cascade. I mean, I still love Cascade. Now they're coming out with all this freaking Mosaic is the year.
You got to stick with
this
the Cascade.
Is the year of the
man.
Mosaic. I know.
Our head brewer, we make a
Thank
bunch
you.
Of IPAs. And every IPA that we make, our head brewer, Greg Mache, give him a little shout out. Every IPA that we
is
make,
he Polish?
We're like, no, he's German. but every IPA that we make, you know, he comes to us and he's like, yeah, man, Centennial Cascade. And we're like, you want to do something different this time? And he's like, no, man. American
combo,
IPA,
man.
Centennial Cascade. We got to make it happen.
No, there's definitely like an identity of American IPA. I've had some IPAs recently that are way too citrusy.
Yeah,
I don't know what hops that is.
The Citra hops.
Sometimes
Citra's big now, yeah.
It's too much. I can't take it.
Yeah. Oh. I don't know. I'm like exactly like him.
Let's talk more about the hops that you guys use. Because like, for me, like Citra, sometimes it just doesn't do it for me.
Okay. Well, the beer that we have right now is the Beer Camp Invite Beer. It's a West Coast double IPA, 8.5%, 63 IBUs. Pretty well balanced, not too hoppy. It's not a smack in your face. And this one has more of that kind of grassy, earthy note, which, Jimmy, I think you might like since you're kind of adverse to the citrusy kind of hop flavor.
He's an old man.
So this one we bittered with Bravo hops and aromaed with Centennial and Chinook.
Awesome. Nice. Awesome.
Chinook, another
one. Yeah. Chinook. We use in our main IPA. We use
Cascade,
Centennial, Chinook, Simcoe.
Let me ask Mike, as an assistant brewer, when you're working in the brewery, I mean, are certain qualities that you identify with certain hops?
Like
if you guys are thinking of a recipe,
we really go with like the Cascade, the Centennial. Like we like that sort of like it's bright, but it's not too grapefruity, and it's like earthy, but it doesn't hurt the back of your mouth. And like so, like we balance it well, you know, with that. We'll also add some Howitzel. You know, we're looking for that characteristic, it's like there's our, you know, Greg. Shout out to Greg. Has definitely everything working in his head. That's just like, you know, we're going to make this, we're going to use this.
So he knows, after all, he really knows what ingredients work well together.
Yeah.
Like cooking.
It's pretty amazing.
Yeah, pretty much.
This beer that's sitting right here, our Wild and Crazy Rye IPA, has got two hops in it we never used before, Nugget and Columbus. Really fantastic rye IPA. You know, we went back and forth with what hops to use in this beer, and, you know, it's really juicy. It's, you know, it plays off the spiciness of the rye. We'll try try that later. But back to Sierra.
Yeah.
Back to Sierra.
But this is is this beer available, the Beer Camp IPA?
So it was
Tell us the story.
It was a last minute release. So what we did was the brewery wanted to send out invitations to all the breweries and invite them to our festivals. We wanted to make the invite a little bit special, so we brewed a special beer and sent everybody every brewery that's listed under the Brewers Association got an invite, and it was a 22-ounce bottle of this beer. You guys got one, too?
Yeah, absolutely.
I didn't get one.
Are you registered under the Brewers Association?
Yes, I am.
But you're an old guy. You got a T-shirt, though. There's a nice here. I can't wait till the third segment. We'll find out who won the Great South Bay hat giveaway. But the Sierra Nevada T-shirt is pretty nice. Yeah, it's a 30th anniversary T-shirt.
We'll have some Beer Camp ones, too. But so this one, this beer was sent out as an invite beer, and all the invitees gave us great feedback. The brewery decided last minute to release this to the general market. It hit New York City this past Monday, so in very limited quantities, so look for it in your better beer stores. But it's kind of like a precursor to our big 12-pack release that's dropping on the 14th.
I just want to say one thing, because we've been talking about IPAs, we've been talking about hops, and that's my thing. But in the back of my mind, I keep thinking about my wife. And every IPA she's ever tried, she calls it poison.
I got those things tattooed on my leg, bro.
Oh, man. There you go. Yeah, right.
At least she doesn't call it
HIPAA. You got hop tattoos.
Yeah, no, that's cool. Yeah. If I ever had that, she ripped my leg off.
Some of us do this for life, right, Jimmy?
Yeah, we all do it for life.
I mean, that's another thing with the Beer Camp Across
that's why
America
we're sitting
festivals.
Here.
Come on, Jay.
The festivals that we're holding in the seven cities, all the proceeds are going to go to all the local brewers' guilds and into hop research. So, you know, as you can attest, if we were having this conversation in 92, how many varietal hops are we going to be talking about?
God.
Handful?
Yeah, not even. I don't think. I don't know. Maybe a handful. Right. Yeah, I think a handful. You know, it's incredible. I mean, you know, it's funny, and I love coming on the show because always, like, when Jimmy gets me on here, it's like I see the young and I see the old, Jimmy and myself.
Someone in the window showing us a photo of beer.
And
you're going to come in afterwards and talk because we don't even know
I see
name,
Red Stripe
come
and
come on in. She's going to come in right now. Right. It's like a live show. No, everyone's
here we
like.
Go.
Who's that guy on TV? The Steve Harvey Show or something?
Can you ask her to bring in her pizza too?
We are here, Rupert. Listen, now it's time to take a short break. We're getting crazy here.
Right,
we got the beer boys on Beer Sessions Radio. We'll be back in a few minutes. All right.
Hi, everybody. I'm Phil Colicchio, the host of the Business of the Business here on the Heritage Radio Network. And this summer, we are turning five. The Heritage Radio Network is 5 years old. Since our launch in 2009, we've continued to bring you food and culture content like nobody else in this business. And we need, and when I say need, I mean need, your help. HeritageRadioNetwork.org is a passionate, grassroots, action-oriented nonprofit organization. And that means we depend upon the support of listeners like you to keep us alive. If you love what you hear on this radio station, the Heritage Radio Network, please visit our website and become a member today. Thanks for listening. Thanks for your support. You got to be economically sustainable. Help us out. Thanks. Bye.
Hi, I'm Reggie Watts, and you're listening to HeritageRadioNetwork.org.
I have all the podcasting equipment. We've been putting it off for a while.
Reggie Watts. God. I know that guy. Hey, welcome back to Beer Sessions Radio on the Heritage Radio Network. We've got some great posts going around. Check out HeritageRadioNetwork.org. First of all, if you're not a member, you should join. But just get used to checking the website. Just like NPR, it's a nonprofit radio network, and we have over 20 shows from cheese, beer, and other things you might be interested in. Those are the ones I like. So, hey, we got Ed Barastecki from Mug's Ale House, Jan from Sierra Nevada, the boys from Great South Bay, and Nico Kremitas from Nico Vices. So, guys, we're talking about a really cool thing here, collaborations, and there's two types. We have Great South Bay worked with the top Long Island beer writer, Nico
Cremutis,
and made a special beer. But Sierra Nevada, to celebrate its expansion to Asheville, North Carolina, invited a number of brewers from around the country to come to their facilities and make special beers.
The old and the young, like
yeah,
I said.
So, again, we looked at and also, Jansen, you guys are going to put that out in a 12-pack. But besides the sales aspect, it just does show you that Ken Grossman and Sierra Nevada really do have a special place in the American craft beer community. And let's talk about that, because we've had some great books out recently. Steve Hindy had a book about the history of American craft beer. Mm-hmm. Tom Acatelli's Audacity of Hops, we talked about a lot. So let's tell us a little bit about Ken Grossman and Sierra Nevada and the role of them in American craft beer.
What do you want to know?
That's your softball. Okay.
In 1980, you know, what other pale ales were there? I mean, Sierra Nevada released the Celebration in 1981, 82, and it was America's first fresh hop IPA. Back then, nobody knew what an IPA was, so it just said Celebration. We're celebrating the hop harvest. Two or three years ago, we started putting the label fresh hop IPA on the label, because that's what it was, and people freaked out. People were like, what, did you change the recipe?
And that's why it's still one of my favorite beers.
What, yep. Celebration?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But you guys too, right?
Oh, yeah.
They dated Celebration back then, too,
they
right?
They still do.
They yeah, still do, right?
I collect them. It's yeah. weird.
So let's it's funny, you know? Not for nothing, I was cleaning out my basement, not the bar basement, right. But my own basement, and I found like a 90 and like sitting there, and I'm like, man,
I
will. Actually, you know what? We'll bring everybody back and we'll drink.
Well, you
it
should.
Here.
I mean, the thing that Ed does, though, that's different, you know, with mugs, and I know Sam Barbieri from Waterfront Ale House is another long time beer bar in New York City. You guys keep beers a long time. I've tried that, but usually after about a year, I just give in and drink it.
Yeah, well, you know, it's funny. I my wife hates me. Well, hated me for a while there because I was a beer hoarder. I called myself a beer hoarder. And I had actually like six stalls of like Dogfish Head that was 10 years old that we tapped at Split Thigh Skull 1 year. And people went nuts. It was just like, I forgot which one it was. It was 120 Burton Barton. I don't remember which one, but... And these people went nuts for it. And I know it just oxidizes. But, you know, after a certain point, it oxidizes. But there's this process along the way that it changes it and it mellows it out. And I like it. But, you know, not everybody has.
Well, I'm finally getting to talk about Mug's Ale House. So you mentioned Split Thy Skull. So you do host a couple really great annual events.
I try to. I'm getting older. It's tough. Events are tough. And I tell everybody that. They're tough. I mean, we do Split Thy Skull in the beginning of March, and we do Belgium to Brooklyn in the beginning of December. And those are our two main ones. And we try to work other ones in with Ray Today, and we do, you know, we're doing this one tomorrow night, which I really am excited about. I'm very excited about this one because of the breweries. I mean, there's, you know, Three Floyds, one of my favorite breweries out there, amazing. Russian River. You know, there are a lot of breweries out there that aren't available in New York that I wish, well, Three Floyds was at one point. We poured them for a while. They're Robert the Bruce and things like that. But, you know, but then again, New York has great breweries now, like Great South Bay.
I love you.
Well, that's good to have you. Well, Jan, a couple more things about this beer cam thing. Because, like I said, we've had some of our regulars, like Jen Schwartman, have gone out to, you know, Chico, California, and sat on the Sierra beer camp. And we've had the beers and stuff. Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is amazing. And I'm still looking at the list of beers. Where can people learn more about the new round of Sierra Nevada Beer Camp beers?
Beercamp.sierranevada.com. We made little video vignettes of all the brewers talking and everything. It's pretty cool.
It's cool. I checked it out, and it was good. You know, not for nothing. Sierra Nevada, you know, all these guys, like Great South Bay, I'm sure, are applauding these guys. This was the beginning. I mean, these were the true pioneers of this whole thing.
And, absolutely.
And, you know, and some beer geeks out there, quote unquote, forget about that, and they kind of push them aside. But, you know, Sierra Nevada, that's why I love them, and, you know, we've been pouring them, and we've never taken them down. And, you know, I appreciate them as much as I hope that they appreciate me. And,
you know, it's funny you say that, because, like, sometimes we'll be asked to make little cheat sheets for servers at restaurants and bars that carry our beer. Yeah. And, you know, with some of our IPAs and stuff, I'll put a little thing, you know, tastes like or similar to, and Sierra Nevada is always one of the top ones that I put
on
that sheet.
You know, they were there. I mean, they were there from the beginning. And like I said, you know, even Anchor, I mean, you know,
and they're still here.
Yeah, right. Exactly. That's the beauty about it, and they're still excelling too, which is incredible, and they're expanding and blah blah blah. Even though, you know, again, quote unquote, we get into the whole beer geekdom thing, and it's a whole different world. But you know, for me, it's like it's not the beer geek end of it; it's the product, and you know, the beer that we love, and the beer we've drunk and drank and drink and everything else. Right, Jimmy?
Yeah. And Jim, the other day with a Southern Living magazine, some of us were on a online hashtag Southern Living live tweet talking about Southern beer, and quite a few people mentioned, you know, Sierra Nevada going into Asheville and welcoming them. I mean, how do you think the beer world thinks of California brewery moving into the North Carolina?
I mean, from what I hear, I haven't been to the site yet, but you know, we're doing a lot of programs integrating with the local community. I know we've set up a program where, you know, the quantity of hops and grains that we buy, we obviously get a volume discount. And we extend that discount to local breweries around the town. So some of the more rare beers that we have contracts for, you know, that aren't accessible on the market, maybe the local brewers in that area have access to.
So that is a big concern that has come up, even when people talk about, you know, Anheuser-Busch buying breweries, is that they're going to buy up at an unfair advantage the price for all their best malt and hops.
They grow it themselves.
Mm-hmm. Do they?
Yeah, we.
It's like McDonald's.
I don't know if I should say anything. I was given some inside information from some people that I know that weren't
right,
at
here
breweries
we go.
That were bought by Anheuser-Busch. And
we're going to be on the Today Show tomorrow morning.
Hey, Mike, wait a second. We're talking on air. Mike, can I have more of your new beer?
Absolutely.
What is it, too? What is this last one? It's really good.
This is the Wild and Crazy Rye IPA.
Great. Yeah, so just, you know, finish what you're saying. Because it is an issue that's come up, and you know, people, this idea that there's larger breweries, they can use economy of scale, just like in, you know, manufacturing shoes or furniture.
Well, they, so.
And you can drive other
Anheuser-Busch,
out of business.
A lot of people don't realize this, but, I mean, as Sierra Nevada, I hope most people know that Sierra Nevada grows a lot of their own ingredients. Right, Jen?
Yeah, we have a state beer that comes out every year. It's
Which
not
is fantastic.
It's yes. not enough to kind of.
Sure. But you guys do grow your
but
own.
But it's not. I'm going to talk seriously. Like, he did bring up a point. They do get a price discount.
Yeah,
for send
sure.
it to other brewers in the North Carolina area so they can all benefit together.
Absolutely.
But that is an issue as certain breweries are getting really bigger or there's larger macros. So
we're feeling it right now. You know, it's like as a new brewery and having had to contract brew our beer for a period of time and not having certain contracts in place, we're paying a bit of a premium on some of our ingredients that, you know, some other breweries that have been around for a lot longer are paying a lower premium, we're paying a higher premium, you know, but a brewery like Anheuser-Busch or a company like Anheuser-Busch InBev, you know, they grow a lot of their own ingredients. They own malt farms. They own hop farms. So a lot of that stuff is outside of.
Yeah, but for you guys, let's talk about what you know, what you're doing as a new brewery.
Yes.
Do you have contracts on hops, malt?
Yes.
And how far out do you
do
that?
We don't have contracts on malts. We buy from two major malt distributors. We buy from Brewer Supply Group, our main supplier, and Country Malt Group is our backup supplier. But, yeah, we have hop contracts through Brewer Supply Group, Hop Union, a company called Nico Brew. Hysterical.
Hey! Not affiliated.
Not affiliated with the Nico.
But so that's how you buy hops. You have a contract.
Yeah. Well, currently, we buy a lot of stuff on spot. But 2014 crop will be our first contract.
I think. I mean, I not for nothing. Just an outsider looking in. Sierra Nevada on the East Coast, I think, is a welcome. I mean, even
fresher
for North
beer.
Carolina. Yeah. I mean, you know. I mean, and the East Coast coming from all the way south is growing from Cigar City all the way north anyway.
Sure.
So,
I mean, Jay,
I can't
the point,
see
right?
it. I can't
beer.
See it
to
being
be
an
more
issue.
Sustainable.
That's a good point. But again, just tell me one more thing about what you guys are doing at Great South Bay related to that, like hops and stuff. So, like, you know, you have to. How far out do you have to plan? Now that you're getting a little bigger, how far
so
do you have
funny.
To plan? No, for real.
I literally just did this.
Like, you don't just wake up and say, oh, I'm going to go to the store and buy some hops today.
Hell no.
No.
He's got hops in his pocket.
No,
right there.
It's like the biggest. It's one of the things that really is, it's tough, you know, and not having had the contracts in place earlier, because it's tough. You know, you don't want to be put in a position where you're contracted for this product that you may not know if you need it or not. So now at this point, we have the sales data, the brewing data. you know, we're already projected out 3 years. 3 years is usually the rule. You know, you want to contract for what 110% of what you need next year, and then you want, you know, 30% growth on top of that, 30% growth on top of that. Each year you can add.
But how did you learn that? Because you're kind of new to this too.
I've been doing this for about 4 years, and I've become very, very good close friends with a lot of guys that have been doing this for a really long time, you know, and I've gotten different answers from different people. You know, my buddy Evan from Southampton Public House really helped me out a lot. You know, just the guys from Blue Point have helped me, but they're on a, you know, completely different level than us right now. But you know, just you know, that's it. I used to work in the music business, and you got to become friends with the people you do business with. You know, yes, we are all musicians.
Okay. Exactly. Last thing, so Nico Cremitas, one reason these guys are here today, you made a special collaboration beer with cucumbers because you're Greek, with a German style beer, which all makes sense. But tell us a few things about the Long Island beer scene that we should know about, including some of your favorite craft beer bars in Long Island. So it is July, and July Good Beer Month.
Yeah, so I believe there are three Long Island bars in the Good Beer Seal. TJ Finley's, Tap and Barrel, and Black Sheep. And hopefully we'll be able to induct one or two more for Good Beer Month at 82 Mercer in July.
All right, that's great. And that'll be the Edibles Good Beer event.
Is that July 31st?
July 31st, yeah. Yep. We'll be there announcing some of the new Good Beer Seal Awards. There's a lot of new beer bars in New York City, and one qualification is having been open for over 1 year. So looking forward to that event. Ed, anything else you want to say about your month in July?
I've been open for over 20 years.
pouring the pale ale.
I forgot about it.
I should actually have, 20 beers?
This is the old guy sitting in the other side of the room.
So, I mean, yeah, all right, over 1 year. Okay. Well, that's another show. Anyway, I am actually very happy that Jan is here with me today. I'm happy that you guys, and actually this whole crew has been great today. I think it's a lively crew. I love it, and I'm happy to be back for a while. I don't know if I'm going to be back again for a while, but tomorrow night, if anybody's out in Brooklyn.
July 9th.
Yeah.
And I will say, so Jan, so you guys, this is a really cool project. One of the coolest projects that is happening, a lot of times when there's, you know, beer weeks and craft brewers conference, they do collaboration beers, but this whole project is amazing.
Yeah, it's a once in a lifetime thing. You know, when are we going to open up another brewery again? Probably not in this lifetime. And, you know, one quick point I want to make, you know, Sierra Nevada, we brought up music, and I always love making this analogy. We're growing so big, we're going national. I like to equate, you know, make the analogy of Green Day back in 1995 when Dookie came out. Everybody started calling them sellout, this and that. But, you know, they're
people
honest.
People got to get paid.
Yeah.
I mean, they were an honest band, just like Sierra Nevada, I believe, is an honest band.
I don't know if Jack Inslee will let you mention Green Day on. Is that okay, Jack? It's okay. He likes it. Okay. All right. So that's that. Gentlemen, Great South Bay, say a few last words. Mike, let me talk to Mike, because Mike's the assistant brewer.
Yes.
What's a beer that you were working on this week at the brewery?
We've got our Field 5 Golden IPA that's in the tank right now. That is dropping this Saturday.
Jimmy Carbone's Chipotle Stout.
13th? Yes. July 13th. 12th?
I don't know. Saturday.
Saturday.
This
Saturday at the brewery. Brand new beer, Golden IPA.
They spend all day together talking, and they're making some great beer. And for you, Mr. Phil Rick Saboto Abel.
Yes.
Here we go.
You're good.
I'm
and Nico,
you guys going to shake your hand.
And you're going to be at a lot of bars around the area with your
Nico,
beer.
Nico, talk to him.
Yeah, Nico Weiss is out right now. And go get some.
And again,
some.
Go to our Twitter. I think at beer underscore sessions. I think that Maggie tweeted the photo. It's an awesome label, too, I have to say.
I did it.
You did that?
Phil's the man. He did the label.
And we're still waiting to see who won. Did anyone win the Great South Bay hat giveaway? I don't know. We're going to go to Jimmy's number 43. Check out the Nico Weiss. We might hit Mug's Ale House. And try some of your stuff. So, guys, this has been an awesome show. As always, it's great talking with you guys. There's a few announcements I'd like to make. beginning tomorrow night and for the rest of the month on Wednesdays, there's a craft beer jam at WNYC's The Green Space. I'll be hosting it, and each night we have some great guests. This year it's many brewers, including Tommy Keegan and some other guys, and Augie Carton. And the last one on July 23rd is actually about food and beer pairing. So there's guys from Torst and Cannibal. And it's always a great series. So check out at the Green Space at WNYC. And also some events coming up. Coney Island on Tap is this Saturday, July 12th. They have a special second session. We're putting together on July 29th a beer film night with Beer Nation TV, the Happy Hour guys, and Rockaway Brewing. And on July 31st, of course, there's the Edibles Good Beer. So I'd like to thank everyone and to our sponsors, GreatBrewers.com, who've helped to bring us this podcast to you tonight. Again, thanks to Ed, Nico, Rick, Phil, and whoever else in the room, Mike, Jan, for joining me here on the Heritage Radio Network. I'm Jimmy Carboni. Thanks to our producers, Maggie Seiden and Justin Kennedy. Maggie. Engineer Jackins.
Peace.
Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time on
Radio.
All right.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archive programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions anytime at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.